Today's podcast brought to you by Elders and Reinagard by Zoetis. Welcome again, folks. You're with me, Kirill Linnigan, for the Beef Central podcast series On The Grill. Today, something completely different to our usual lineup of movers and shakers across the extraordinary red meat production chain. Today, the mental health of regional and rural Australia, and later on, the Dolly's dream story. But right now, I'm grateful for the time of a preeminent expert in this area, mental health. Our guest today is both a clinical psychologist and a clinical neuropsychologist. Dr. Simone Shaw heads up the Shaw Psychology Practice on Queensland's Sunshine Coast. Dr. Shaw, welcome.
Thank you, Kerry.
Now, the broader mental health picture in Australia at the moment, is the static getting better, or are we facing increasing challenges in today's world?
Oh, we certainly are facing more challenges in the current climate. And although we've made lots of advances, we're still struggling in this space. And I think the biggest issue with mental health, just more broadly around Australia, not only in regional and remote areas, is stigma. Stigma is still very rife in terms of admitting when one is not okay and then reaching out for support. So particularly with folks in the bush, stoicism is second nature to bushies. And you know, that means that they try to cope on their own rather than asking for help. And the she'll be right, mate mantra, or the converse, have a teaspoon of cement and harden up mentality, still does exist. So we need to break through that. And we know that reaching out for support is a sign of personal accountability and actually strength to say, I'm not okay and I need some help right now.
So the challenges in regional and rural Australia, much the same as they are in urban areas, or are there different issues which emerge?
No, there certainly are different issues in the bush, Kerry, and just the geographical isolation, just starting with that.
Yeah.
Living hundreds sometimes of kilometres from the closest town and then, potentially access to services within that town. Then there's another issue of whether you can actually get into your local GP. Wait lists are extensive. Some aren't accepting new patients. And so where do you then turn to if you can't get in to see someone? I think the other issues for regional and remote folk are just poor internet, mobile phone coverage. But having said that, most country folk still have a landline, so they can still pick up the phone and to access support that they need in that space.
But those issues in the bush, they would certainly strike a chord with you, Simone, because you're eminently qualified in the medical sense. You were actually raised on a cattle property in central Queensland, weren't you? Tell us about that.
Indeed I was, Kerry. So I was born in Emerald to second-generation farmers, and I was raised on a cattle station 60 kilometres northwest of Emerald. I went to boarding school in the beef capital of Australia at Rocky Girls Grammar, and then I went and headed to the big smoke down to Brizzy to go to the University of Queensland. So every school holidays, every university holidays, and still currently, now that I have my own children, every school holidays, I'm still back on the farm. And on Easter long weekend, we were mustering and we were branding and we were doing all the things we needed to do, because it's just the work needs to get done. You've got to make hay while the sun shines.
So when somebody talks about mental health issues in regional and rural Australia, you certainly have that. You have the shit on the boots, as so to speak.
Yes, I haven't heard that say for a long time, Kerry.
So what's a distinctive mental health issue you hear from bush people in your practice at present?
We know that the most common conditions that we see are depression, anxiety, and substance use. And often they go hand in hand. It's a bit of the chicken and the egg, which came first. The person was feeling down, then they leaned on alcohol usually to help cope with that, or were they drinking and then drinking too much, and then that led to feelings of depression or anxiety. So they're the main conditions that we see. And on top of that, unfortunately, we also have suicide. And that is a major issue for people living in rural and remote communities, and they are a priority population. Coupled with rural and remote, there's also men we know are at higher risk of suicide. And we also know that veterans as well. So if we have somebody who's living in the bush, they're isolated and they're a fella, person. Maybe they've had some military service or not, but it just compounds the risk for suicide. Yes. And it's not okay.
How does a mental health issue manifest itself with sufferers? What might be warning signs or symptoms that family members should be looking for?
Yeah, good question. A change in behaviour. So for someone who was previously outgoing, they might be a little bit more withdrawn. There could be changes in mood, such as irritability, frustration, anger outbursts, those types of things. Or there could be just a noticeable change in their appearance as well. So not looking after themselves, loss of appetite, maybe drinking more than normal, those types of things. So it could be a sign that they're not okay, or it could be something else as well. It could be a physical illness that's going on, but it's just noticing and then asking. So just leaning into that and just going, oh, hey, I noticed that you've, you know, withdrawn a little bit and I'm a bit worried about you. Is everything okay? So just noticing and then asking.
So most people who call your practice, have they self-diagnosed or are they referred to you by a GP?
It's variable, Kerry. So some people do self-refer, and the beauty of seeing a psychologist is that you don't need a referral. So difference with some other specialties. Yeah. So that's wonderful. So just to break down that additional step that people might be a barrier for them in terms of reaching for help. Yeah. Otherwise, we do receive referrals from GPs, neurologists, psychiatrists, geriatricians, paediatricians, social workers, so other allied health practitioners. So they do come through in those formal methods as well. We also provide EAP services or employee assistance program services. So that most organisations have that, large organisations. So that's just free confidential telephone support. So and the way those programs work is there's just a number that's available to staff, and if they need help, they just reach out. They don't need to ask their manager to do that or their boss to do that.
Let's say I work in the country and seem to be travelling well, but I recognise those symptoms you previously mentioned in a mate or a friend. Mm-hmm. How do I best handle that?
Well, ideally, your first port of call would be, if you think you're not okay, would be to have a yarn with your GP, notwithstanding the difficulties of getting into one's GP. And the reason that we start with that is just to rule out any physical reasons why you might have noticed a change. As I mentioned before, it could be something else. It could be a thyroid issue if you're suddenly fatigued and you've got a lack of energy and you've lost your appetite or you're not sleeping so well. It could be other hormonal issues. We would not want it to be something as serious as cancer, for example. But and so just ruling out any physical causes for the change in the person and the symptoms that they're experiencing. So once we've done that, we go, yep, this is anxiety, this is depression, then it's just having that conversation. So some people, Kerry, they don't need to get professional help. Just having a yarn with a mate could be enough to get it off their chest.
Yeah.
So reaching out and connecting with someone they trust. So just having a chat about how that person is, how they're going, what they're experiencing, and just to vent, in essence. So that might be all that somebody needs. But if somebody does need professional help, one great thing that came from COVID is telehealth. All psychologists within Australia pivoted to telehealth and to be able to provide those services continuously through that period of time, which was just wonderful. So that's continued. So that's a great legacy that we still have today. So also on top of that, the beauty is that if there isn't anyone in your local town, because there is no psychologist, you know, within 500 kilometres of where you live, that you can access psychologists from around Australia. Yeah. So it breaks down that barrier of that geographical isolation. Yeah, so
you can do it. You do it on the phone or do you do it with vision?
You can.
Yeah.
Both, Kerry. Yep. Yeah. But if you've got crappy internet and drops out all the time, then you can just have a yarn on the phone. Otherwise, video is preferable so you can see the person that you're speaking with and have that connection face-to-face.
And Medicare offers some sort of contribution, don't they? But I understand they've bumped back the number of visits that they're allowed to psychologists.
They did, unfortunately. So at one stage, we had up to 18 sessions and then COVID hit. Prior to that, it reduced down to 10 sessions rebatable, boosted back up to 20, I should say. And then now it's reduced down to 10. So 10 Medicare rebatable sessions per annum. And that's with a mental health care plan from your GP. So if you wanted to go down that route, making sure that you make a long appointment with your GP and to get that. Again, there are GPs online that can provide those services too. So if you can't get into your local GP, just jumping online and looking for an online GP to get that specific referral, and then off you go. Again, beauty of psychology referrals is that it's transferable. So if it has someone's name on it, but they're not accepting new clients or they're busy, you can use it with someone else. You don't have to get a new referral, so that's beautiful. It's probably also worth mentioning as well, there are free psychological services available Australia-wide, and that's through the Primary Health Network Head to Health program. So I just jumped to their website and just to follow the prompts with that process. So there's no fees associated with that. Wow. Probably the third resource would be through the Australian Psychological Society. They've got to have a resource called Find a Psychologist. So through that, folks can sort of navigate and find a psychologist that's going to suit them. So if they have a particular area that they want to work on, addiction, or they only want to speak with a female or whatever it might be, they can type in that search criteria to find someone that meets those needs for them.
Sounds impressive. Now, moving on to one of your success stories, apparently, where you and your colleagues are actually teaching companies the special skills needed to best manage the mental health of their employees.
So I'm blessed to be affiliated with the Black Dog Institute, and I'm one of their national facilitators. So they've got a wonderful program called Managing for Team Wellbeing. It can be delivered online, and it is to help managers have conversations with their staff about mental health. So knowing how to recognise those signs that someone's not okay and then how to have those conversations. Not teaching people to be mental health care practitioners, it's teaching them just to start that conversation and then to point that person in the right direction in terms of the support that they can access. Yeah. The Black Dog also has another workshop in terms of understanding your mental health and wellbeing, and that's just for people, the staff themselves, to know how to recognise signs within themselves if they're not okay, and again, what steps they can take to help build their own personal resilience and to cope and to bounce back from what they're going through.
And now another aspect of mental health and how the approach has broadened so much in recent years, especially in regional rural Australia, instead of the flying doctor, we now have the flying neuropsychologist. how does that work?
It was one of my dreams, Kerry, to be able to continue to provide services in regional and remote areas. So much to my parents' dismay, I did not move back to Emerald, although that I'm sure that offer will still be available to me forevermore. But I do have my family down here in southeast Queensland on my little prickle farm, as my dad calls it. And so wherever I can and where possible, I travel to regional and remote areas to provide well-needed services. So I've been able to fortunately do that through the Black Dog Institute, as that's one of their key areas of focus. And what's beautiful is that you go into these places and the folk are just so grateful for the support coming to them versus them needing to travel out of their region to get the support. And it's humbling, it's inspiring, and it's motivating, and they're so grateful for that expertise that I can offer to them. So I feel privileged to be able to do that, and it fills up my bucket as well.
Simone, are there distinct triggers for mental health issues in the bush? I mean, for example, the droughts or floods, et cetera. Is there an uptick in your clients with natural disasters?
Absolutely. We know that when people go through droughts, floods, plagues, fires, whatever it might be, that your whole livelihood has been compromised, and potentially there's been loss of stock, of lives, of resources, of infrastructure, and it's devastating, absolutely devastating. We know that folk from the bush are very stoic, but still these things can have a significant impact on us. So when these things happen, we know that there is a collaborative response from the federal government and organisations like Beyond Blue or the Australian Psychological Society or the Black Dog Institute and other organisations rally together to get those resources on the ground and to provide additional support for people so that they can cope through this.
Can I touch on the uncomfortable subject of suicide across the farming community? We now spend, apparently, I'm told, $10 billion a year in Australia on mental health, yet that farm suicide rate has hardly moved. A farmer suicides on average every 15 days in Australia. That's an appalling figure.
Yes.
Yeah.
Disgusting. It's a taboo subject that a lot of people don't want to talk about, and we need to. We know that, as I mentioned earlier, men and rural and remote areas are priority populations for suicide, and that the rates are significantly higher than in urban areas. Unfortunately, due to the isolation and access to means, then the farmers see that sometimes as the only option. We know with suicide, though, that there is always ambivalence about making that final decision. And so if we've noticed that someone isn't okay, or they've said something that's a bit odd, or, they just don't seem right, it's just leaning in and asking, because it could be that one question that you ask, that one moment, that cuppa that you invited them in for, or you're at the sales yard and, you notice that old mate was a little bit quiet and you just went over and had a yarn to him and see how he went. But that could make all the difference for him to make that final decision on that day. And it's about instilling hope as well, Kerry, that what they're going through will change, it will shift, and that things can look different and they don't have to shoulder all of that on their own, and there are other options available to them.
So it's a very important expression I've heard a few times recently. It's now okay for a big bushy bloke to say, I'm not okay.
Indeed, it is. Mm. And it takes courage to do that as well, Kerry. I actually see it as a sign of strength to do that, to say, I'm not okay, and I need some help, and I'm going to get it. And what I'd love to see is, change champions. So, bushies who have lived through their own mental health experiences, whether personally or with a loved one, and to talk about that, and so that others can see their post-traumatic growth through those experiences and what they can take away from that to help save or to change one person's life and trajectory in this space.
What's a brief message for those in the bush dealing with mental health issues, either their own or family members or friends? What's a brief message to leave us with today, Simone?
That there is hope, that you need to start a conversation. To all the carers and family members out there, I'd say thank you. Thank you for being there for your loved one unconditionally and forever, and that there's help available for everyone. Whether you're a carer, a family member, a widow, whether you're a sufferer yourself, that there are numerous online free resources available, support groups that you can link in with. And for the carers and the family members, you have to fill up your own bucket first before you can help others. So put your own oxygen mask on. But please reach out for help if you need it. There is help available. There are people waiting and willing and wanting to help you through this journey. And the earlier, the better.
Such an important message, and this is such an issue of rural mental health in Australia. Dr. Simone Shaw, clinical psychologist and clinical neuropsychologist from Shaw Psychology on the Sunshine Coast. Simone, thank you for your time today.
My pleasure, Kerry. Thank you so much.
A short break. Back in a moment with the general manager of the wonderful Dolly's Dream organisation. Breathe Easy with Rhinogard, the only single-dose intranasal vaccine for control of IBR in your cattle. Get in control of bovine respiratory disease, that's BRD, before it begins. Just deliver a single intranasal spray of Rhinogard for rapid IBR control and add a single dose of BoviShield MH1 for protection against pneumonia. For rapid protection against MH and IBR in your weaners and pre-feedlot cattle, breathe easy with BovaShield and Rhinogard. Available from your local vet today.
For over 180 years, Elders has proudly been supporting Australian livestock producers. Elders supports your business across the production cycle with more than 350 livestock agents, access to specialist livestock advice and auction services. Draw on our established relationships to buy and sell commercial and stud livestock across domestic and international markets. Enjoy Del Credere guaranteed payments when you sell with Elders. Livestock funding also available, subject to approval. Elders, for Australian agriculture.
Welcome back. You're on The Grill with Beef Central. Our discussion today, the issue of mental health in regional and rural Australia. And now let me introduce the general manager of a crucial operator at the pointy end of mental health, and that organisation is known throughout Australia as Dolly's Dream, and the boss is Sally Sweeney. Sally, welcome.
Thank you, Kerry. Good to be here.
Sally, could you start, thank you, with a word picture of Dolly's Dream, its origins and its growth, its extraordinary growth over recent years?
Yeah, absolutely, Kerry. So Dolly's Dream was created by Kate and Vic Everett following the devastating loss of their 14-year-old daughter Dolly to suicide after ongoing bullying both online and offline. So through their devastation and their grief, they just wanted to ensure that no other family had to walk this road. And they really wanted to go about by changing the culture of bullying. And this is through addressing the impact of bullying, anxiety, depression, and youth suicide, and doing this through education and direct support to young people and families. And I don't think that they could have imagined in their wildest dreams that it would have, have created such a movement across Australia. We've got incredible support in regional and rural areas of Australia, because I think not only did Dolly's story touch the hearts of Australians, she was a beautiful, happy, lively, caring, kind girl from a truly loving and happy family. So people really looked at that and thought, not only was Dolly one of us, but it could happen to anyone if it happened to her. But also I think everybody is touched in some way by bullying, whether you've experienced yourself, whether you can remember it happening to you at school, or whether you've got a young person in your life who's currently going through it as well.
But the focus of Dolly's Dream is not exclusively on young women, is it?
Oh, no, absolutely. It's all young people, from all across Australia. Our main purpose is to change the culture of bullying. However, we know that there's also a lot of youth mental health that comes with that as well around anxiety, depression, and of course, devastatingly, youth suicide as well.
Who calls, Sally? Is it the person with issues or maybe a family member of that person?
We find that we often get calls to our Dolly's Dream support line from parents, carers. We had someone call recently who, she was an auntie, and she could see that her niece had been severely bullied and was suffering some incredibly devastating mental health challenges, including feeling suicidal. So while she wasn't a direct carer, she wanted to find out how can she support her sister and her daughter going through this process. We also have young people call up who they might not feel comfortable talking to someone in their life and they don't know where to go to, and they can call up and speak to one of our qualified counsellors about bullying or about any kind of issues that they might be going through.
Yes. Is the bullying that Dolly suffered, is that still the biggest issue you have to deal with?
It's certainly what we hear about the most. Now that we have online and tech is moving at a rate that none of us can really keep up with, we're really focused on cyberbullying and keeping kids safe online as well. So we go out to schools and we talk to young people about, how to keep them safe online, but also if they are experiencing bullying, cyberbullying, where they can go to and who they can speak to, and really making sure that they can understand how they can deal with it and provide those support services for young people.
How much of the mental health issues you deal with, how much can be traced back to mobile phones and the ubiquitous access to the internet?
Look, I think it's opened up a whole new world for young people, and we often try and speak to parents and carers as well to make sure that they're aware of what young kids are doing online, with, make sure that they're, looking at their devices outside of their bedroom and know who they're talking to online, because that can really lead to some of these issues that you're talking about there, Kerry. And we know that there, in the last year alone, there's been 40% rise in reports of cyberbullying by young people online. And these are young kids who, might be reading something on their mobile phone, they might be in their room, it might be late at night, and there's no one there to debrief with or talk to about it. And it seems, really big at the time. And there's a lot of stuff on there around online trolling and a lot of negativity that we want to be able to help support young kids when they're, making their way through their online world, to make sure that they're keeping safe as well, because we know the detrimental effects that can have on young people too.
Does Dolly's Dream have a safe way or recommendation to youngsters or families to use their mobile phones in a safe and respectable manner?
Yeah, look, I mean, we you can't ban devices, you know, mobile phones and iPads and all of that is not going anywhere. And we don't say that you should ban it either, but just to make sure that it's being used in a safe way. So one of the big things for us is make sure young people are, you know, are always online in an open space. Don't have them in their bedrooms. Don't use them late at night. You know, you might agree as a family to have a time where you put all your devices away. Make sure that kids are spending as much time offline as online as well. They can have their games and they can have their chats, but it's really important that they're also communicating with their family and friends outside that and doing some activities that aren't online. We actually have a free cyber safety app called Beacon, which parents and carers can download, and it's got over 600 articles on there on how to keep your kids safe, or if you want to know something about Snapchat, type Snapchat in there and it come up with all different articles and videos to support parents try and navigate their young people through the online world.
Are young boy issues with mental health different from problems you hear from younger girls?
We kind of hear the same across the board, Kerry. We know that it might not be a boy or a girl issue, but really it's a young person's issue. It's the age. It's, you know, it might be that they're going into high school. It might be that they're starting to use devices. But we know that a lot of the conversations that we have with parents and with young people, the themes are the same, whether you're hearing from a boy or a girl.
Sally, Dolly's Dream has an extraordinary level of support. So you've touched a chord, obviously, and not just in the bush. You have wonderful corporate support as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, we've got incredible support from organisations such as Australian Agricultural Company, Nutrien Ag Solutions, Smiggle. We're so fortunate to have this support, because what that means is we can then fund our programs along with the incredible community fundraising that we get. So it means that we can offer programs like our youth mental health training. So this is something that we offer to communities living in rural, regional and remote Australia, where we can actually train up people in their areas. And it might be that you come from a sports club. You know, often we hear from coaches saying, oh, I think there's some kids in my team who might have some stuff going on and I don't know how to deal with it. So we provide free training for them so that they can look out for some of the mental health issues that young people might be facing. And we offer this to schools, sports club, hospitals, you know, anyone living in those areas that we can provide. And we couldn't do this without the support of some of our big corporate partners. So we're so grateful for them, not only helping us to fund our programs, but also getting the awareness out there. All of our services for Dolly's Dream are support services. Yeah. We want to make sure that we are helping the community. So, you know, without those partnerships, Bairnsdale Horse Centre has an incredible merchandise range for Dolly's Dream that we just clocked over in March that Bairnsdale Horse Centre had raised over $630,000 for Dolly's Dream just by merchandise sales alone. So all those Dolly's Dream hats and shirts you see out there on farms, all of those that are purchased come back to providing support for our program.
And as we head into the big beef week in Rockhampton, it's worth a reminder, you have the big fundraiser for the year, Dolly's Day, on the last Friday of the big beef week.
That's right, Kerry. So Friday the 10th of May is Do It for Dolly Day, and that is our day that's all about bringing the community together, going blue, spreading kindness, and really uniting to end bullying in honour of Dolly. So we ask, you know, workplaces, sports clubs, businesses, individuals, community groups to dress in blue. We're asking everyone to go blue to end bullying. To register to host the fundraising activity and, you know what, just taking time out in the day to do something kind for someone. Kindness can change the outcome of someone's day, and that's really what Dolly's Dream is all about.
And finally, Sally, Kate and Dick Everett, Dolly's folks, mum and dad, how are they going?
They're absolutely incredible. Every time that I catch up with Kate and Dick, I'm just blown away by just how resilient, how strong and just how thoughtful and generous they are with their time. Because really, as I said, that they didn't want any other family to have to go through this. They didn't want there to be any other Dollies in the world. So through their grief and their heartache, they've set this up, and the change that they've made, the impact that they've made across Australia, but really reaching out globally now as well to make sure that, you know, we're changing the culture of bullying is just incredible. And I think they're really proud of what how much the community has stood behind Dolly's Dream and really helped us to get us to their vision and get us to where we want to be.
Good on you, Sally. Sally Sweeney, CEO of Dolly's Dream, thank you so much for your time on Beef Central today.
Thanks, Kerry.
Now, next time on The Grill from the Big Beef Show in Rockhampton, Queensland, every day a different look at what's happening. Please join us from Beef 2024 next week on The Grill.